Good morning. There's a story that goes about a group of guys who took a trip of a lifetime to France. While they were there, they decided as they traveled around to go to a Catholic church, a cathedral in a small town, and experience the Mass in this church. The unfortunate thing is none of them understood French. So they went to the church, they managed to stand, kneel, and sit when the rest of the congregation did. So it wouldn't be obvious that they were tourists. At one point, the priest spoke to a man sitting next to them, and he stood up. So they got up too. The entire congregation broke out in hearty laughter. After the service, they approached the priest who spoke English, and they asked him what had been so funny. The priest said he announced a birth in the parish and asked the father to stand up. Now, there is no doubt that these men were listening, but they did not have the capacity to hear. Jesus said, anyone with ears should listen and understand. Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask that as this word goes forth, that you would use it for your honor and glory, both now and in the future. We thank you, Almighty God, that your word is truth, and there are things that we need to understand, but most of all, we need to listen to it and desire to understand it. Father, your secrets of the kingdom of heaven is a hidden gem that can only be extracted with work on our part. So, Father, I just pray that we would work to understand and not just take it at surface value. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God over 50 times in his gospel. The phrase was used to grab the attention of the Jewish listeners, because they were so earnestly seeking the kingdom of God. For example, Matthew talks about how people who want to be part of the kingdom need to start by repenting, turning away from the king of this world and turn to the king of creation. He talks about the attitude you need to have to be part of the kingdom. He talks about the benefits of being part of the kingdom, like no longer having to worry about anything because of your king is the creator who ultimately is in control of all creation. He talks about how if you want to be part of the kingdom, you need to seek it first. It needs to be your number one priority above all other things. And finally, those in the kingdom will do the Father's work because they want to and they love the king. Now, we get to chapters 11 and 12, and an interesting transition or transitions take place. Matthew begins to give us examples of how people are reacting to the message of the kingdom coming from Jesus, the Messiah. You know, it's really interesting because the reaction that Matthew shows, it comes from everybody involved. And they're all different. And they're all reacting to the message of the kingdom because it's both good news and bad news. It's a message of salvation or judgment. It's like cilantro. How many of you like cilantro? About half. How many of you hate it? And there's the other half. It's a message that will have a reaction with people one way or another. It just depends on the condition of your heart. And that will dictate the reaction to the message. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 19, John the Baptist sends his disciples to question Jesus and to see if he's the one. John was expecting a different type of Messiah. And Jesus responds to John from messianic passages in Isaiah. Matthew 11:20-24, Jesus condemns the reaction of the cities he has been preaching in and doing miracles for months. They have rejected him, only wanting to see a show. In 11:25-30, the wise and learned have rejected Jesus, while the weak and the poor have embraced him. In 12:1-14, the religious establishment, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law have rejected Jesus while plotting to kill him, because he is not the type of Messiah they want. In 12:15-21, the Pharisees push their rejection by attempting to cast doubt on where Jesus' supernatural abilities come from. In 12:38, after all this, the Pharisees demand that Jesus show them a miraculous sign to prove who he says he is. And in 12:46-50, even his mother and brothers are caught up in the doubt as they come to him and try and talk to him. So here's an interesting transition again. Now we see how Jesus reacts to the people who have reacted to the message of the kingdom. And because of the reaction of the people, Jesus now begins to speak in parables, beginning with the parable of the soils. Then the disciples question Jesus as to why he is now speaking in parables, and Jesus' response is basically that the people are not interested in the message. They just hear blah, 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 blah. They're more interested in what they can get out of it and what they can see. But then Jesus says to the disciples in 13:16, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear." See, this is all about the desire of our hearts. Jesus is calling us out in these parables and challenging us to see if we're listening. It's all about your desire to listen and understand what Jesus is saying. That's what this is all about. That's what the parables are all about. He speaks in ways that if you're not paying attention, you're not listening, you're not thinking, you will not get it. So this morning, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. I encourage you to get your Bibles out and turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pews. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Jesus told another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Three questions in this parable are asked by the servants of the farmer. Didn't you sow good seed? Where did the weeds come from? Do you want us to go and pull them up? Then turn over to Matthew 13, 36 through 43, and we'll see Jesus' answer. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. The disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed The good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun and the kingdom in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, we got to be careful with this explanation, because if you don't pay attention to what Jesus is saying, you will miss the intent of the parable. We tend to focus on the stuff about the end times, when the weeds are pulled up and who's pulling them up and they're burning and gnashing of teeth and all this stuff, and then we're going to shine in like light in the kingdom of heaven. And that's all great. That's all true. But there's a message for us here and now, and that's what we've got to look at. Jesus is the farmer. We are his servants and the seeds, both. The weeds are evil sown by the enemy of God. Simple, right? Well, not quite. Jesus, acting on behalf of God, created the world and planted two good seeds in fertile soil, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And then Jesus says in the parable, while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds. We go back to Genesis chapter 2, and we see 2 and 3, and we see Adam and Eve standing before the tree, focused on their own interest. They were told, don't go to the tree. Don't eat it. And what are they doing? Satan didn't tell them to go to the tree. They're at the tree, examining it, looking at the fruit, watching animals eat the fruit. And then Satan comes to them, once they've already started, and he begins to cast doubt on God. They're there for their own interests, not God's interests. They're sleeping. Their focus and attention is shifted away from where it needs to be. They're sleeping. And the serpent comes and created doubt in their minds. And humanity is now under a curse because of what they did. Leap forward thousands of years, and Jesus comes bringing news of a new kingdom to replace the old corrupted one. The Jewish people were expecting a Messiah that would remove the old kingdom and replace it with a new godly one. But this is not what God had in mind. Thus, all the negative responses to Jesus when he didn't perform as they expected. In the parable, the servants ask a logical and key question. Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds? The farmer tells them, no, you may root up the wheat with them. Now, what's interesting, and this has been talked about many times when people talk about this parable, what's interesting is that there is a plant in the ancient world still today that looks like wheat when it's growing and when it's young. You can hardly tell them apart. Even as they grow and mature and develop their seed heads, it's difficult to the untrained eye to tell them apart. It's only when they are fully mature that experts know the difference and can separate them. The other interesting thing about this plant, which is called darnel, it's in the same family as wheat, but the seed is useless for human consumption, and in fact it contains a toxin that could make you very, very sick. You see, it's not just weeds. This plant that is sown among the wheat is toxic and harmful. And yet there is the wheat growing amongst it. And the farmer says, don't pull it up until we harvest it. So the farmer says to them, no, just leave it alone, because you don't have the capacity to distinguish between the good plant and the bad one. Only the harvesters have that ability, and it's at the harvest that they will take care of it. You see, what people were expecting was that Jesus would come, or the Messiah would come, and get rid of the old kingdom and replace it with a new kingdom. But that's not what God had in mind. The new kingdom is here, and it's overlapping the old kingdom. And as it overlaps the old kingdom, it causes those of us who are wheat to grow and develop slowly, even in the midst of struggles, so that we become fully committed to the sower. You see, if you think about it, if the old kingdom was just replaced, then that includes everybody, and you don't have full commitment of the people in the new kingdom. This plan of God allows us to slowly mature as we struggle and learn to commit our lives fully to the King of creation, so that in the end, in eternity, we are standing there before God, fully committed to God, voluntarily doing it, because we know it's the only place to be because of the struggles that we've went through to get there. But this means we have to live among the weeds right now. Absolutely. And there's a purpose in that. Jesus states in the parable that for you and I, we're the servants. It's not our job to pull up the weeds, because we do not have the capacity to distinguish between wheat and weeds. Now, I want you to think about all the people that you've run across, people who call themselves Christians or just people in general. Have you run across a lot of weeds? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, if it was your responsibility to pull up those weeds, what would happen? Especially in light of the fact that, me personally, I've seen people who were weeds, and all of a sudden, someday, one day, something happens, and I didn't expect it, and they turn into wheat. What if we go around beginning to pull up weeds? Many years ago in this church, that happened, and to disastrous consequences. It's not our job. We're the servants. It is not our job to pull up the weeds. That is the job of the harvesters who know what they're doing. When we think back in human history, there are many times where weeds were attempted to be pulled up when they shouldn't have been. We can think of the Crusades and the disastrous consequences of the Crusades and the thousands, maybe millions of people who died who shouldn't have died because they were weeds. the wars between the Catholics and Christians, and how many believers died and suffered at the hands of supposedly other Christians because they were weeds. We're not given the responsibility to pull up the weeds. That is not my responsibility. Our job is to let the wheat grow, and God will take care of the weeds. We were never given that job. So if we listen and understand what Christ is saying, then we understand we are the seeds and we are also the servants. And it's our responsibility to grow as the wheat and spread the message of the kingdom, doing the will of the King. That should be our response to the message. My job is to grow and mature into ripe wheat and spread the blessing of God to everyone around me. Even in the midst of growing up and maturing amongst the weeds and struggling, my job is to grow. I have a single-minded focus. Grow, develop, and mature. God will take care of the weeds, not me. Our mission as believers is to live in communities that are forgiving, generous, and sharing the good news, all the while you live amongst the weeds. I have talked about this so many times, and I am really grateful for this church. We are a family, a community whose job it is to help each other in whatever way we can, whatever way God has laid on our hearts, responding to the needs in our family, in our community. We need to be a community that is forgiving, generous, and sharing the good news. Because you know what, folks? We are living among the weeds. And it's a struggle every day. But in this community, we need to be thriving and growing and pushing each other to grow and develop into maturity. So what about the weeds, the evil in the world? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 13, 1 and 2, that God has established institutions to keep evil at bay. They are the governments of the world. And some do that job better than others. But this is what God has established. And God is in control and knows what He's doing. For you and I, as Jesus' followers, we are to be about growing the wheat and not trying to be weed police. It will be a disaster if you take on a responsibility that is not yours. You are not to be weed police. You will pull up the weeds and damage the wheat, and maybe even pull up wheat in the process. The whole idea about growing amongst the weeds is that as we struggle, it causes us to rely on Jesus and God more and more as we do the work of the kingdom. And the struggle is not a bad thing. Because the more we rely on Jesus, the more we see Him work in our lives. So this parable gives us hope and assurance as we grow the wheat that there is a plan for evil and it will be dealt with one way or another. But it's not my responsibility. I am just supposed to grow the wheat. God will take care of the weeds. Lastly, good and evil are a lot more complex and intertangled in this world than you would think. For example, look at your own lives. We are a mixture of good and evil. I have a nature that is fleshly, that is human. And I have a nature that is godly from Jesus Christ. And those two natures are constantly battling and struggling against each other. Yet this parable is telling me, focus on the wheat. You are the wheat. Focus on growing and maturing. And as you do that, God will slowly begin to remove the weeds from your life. Focus on your wheat. The responsibility for the weeds in your life is God's responsibility. And as you trust Him more and more, He will begin to deal with the weeds in your life in a more powerful way. Don't lose hope. We have an awesome God who knows how to encourage you to grow. But you must stay focused on the wheat, because you are not weed police. That is God's job. It is His job to deal with the evil in the world, and we have to let Him deal with the evil in our own lives as we focus our attention on growing the wheat. And how do we grow? We grow through studying God's Word. Not just reading it superficially and say, that's fine. I read my Bible today. The people that were listening to Jesus' parables, they heard the parable like, oh, okay, so I heard it. What does that mean? It's the same thing we do if we read this stuff and never study it to understand it. We have to study God's Word and commit ourselves to communicate with God through prayer. And you know, then what happens? When you do that, God begins to take care of the weeds in your life. Jesus states at the end of the explanation, "He who has ears, let him hear." He who has ears, let him hear. It's all about the desire of your heart. Do you want to grow? If you do want to grow in Christ, then you will focus on the wheat. You will study God's Word. You will desire to know Jesus and God more and more every day. The people in the crowd heard parables. The ones who were interested in God and the Messiah heard the parables. They were interested. They listened carefully. And God gave them wisdom to begin to understand what Jesus was talking about. It's the same for you and I. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, my friends, I hope we are people who want to hear the Lord. That is the desire of our heart. And we don't want to be people that just get caught up with the things of the world and let that push us here and there and everywhere. I hope we're people that want to hear and see the truth, so that we can grow and flourish. Let's pray. Almighty God, this is a lesson that every one of us needs to learn, because Satan and our human nature is so good at tricking us and maneuvering us into a position where we find ourselves having lost our focus on growing. I pray, Father, as this word goes out, that you would impact the seed in our life and the seeds around us. Make us committed. Make us people who want to grow. And Lord, allow us to watch and see the effects that you have as that happens. Thank you, Almighty God. And if there is anyone here this morning who needs to know you in a deeper sense, let them, Lord, seek someone out to talk to pray with, to encourage them. We thank you, O gracious Lord, for your grace and mercy in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.